Blog Talk Radio.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our heads together, we're polishing up our act.
Don't you let nothing stand in your way. I want your
vocabulary to others. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shine and star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Here we are once again. It is the Black Business Billionaires Network Club with yours truly, Dr. Ron, Rev. Ron, Ron Robinson. I guess I got so many names, Mr. Electric. And we're here tonight with a special, special guest, Mr. Kenneth Lamont. We're going to talk about credit. We're going to talk about the internal function of credit. We're going to talk about the laws of credit. We're going to talk about things that you have to pay, things you don't have to pay. We're going to talk about your relationship with collection agencies. Do you have a relationship with the collection agency? Do you have a relationship with the collection agency? Do you owe them money? Yes or no? All of that's going to be answered today with our special, special guest, Mr. Kenneth Lamont. He has been through the credit struggle. He has personal experience, the School of Hard Knocks, and he's learned some intricate, important legal terms. And he learned some important legal procedures and some points that you need to know about and you need to hear about. But first, we want to give homage to a great, 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 great man himself, Brother Gregory Hall from Let's Get Together and Reap More Show. Shows every Saturday. It was every Saturday night from 7 to 9. He had passed. Great brother, beloved. I've known him for 30 years. He had been the master of music, the choir director of many churches where I preach, and he was a fine pianist. He was a classical pianist. He was a master of the Hammond organ, and he studied at Juilliard, and he graduated master degree program in so many musical schools, New York School of Music, and he's been an accomplished pianist all across the world, all across America, and he have designed some of the greatest choirs in the United States and some of the biggest Baptist churches in here in the United States, and he's a brother beloved, and he passed a week ago, and we want to give homage to him and his family. We want to pray that the bereaved family, his father, 92 years old, we want to pray that he is comforted by God's grace and mercy, his family beloved, that they have peace in this time of sorrow. And so we want to give homage to him. I'm going to open up some of the mics and give everyone a chance to say something in reference to what we call Professor Gregory Hall, the finance genius, a man who loved people and wanted to unite people and give people financial opportunities to do better for themselves. I'm going to open up 718-440, and I believe that's the best brother, Fred Braswell. Your mic is open.
Yes, how you doing, my brother? Yeah,
yes.
I was definitely, I knew you'd be able to tell me something, and thank God you told me what I need to hear. We just talked earlier today. I hadn't heard from him in about 3 weeks, and it was very pressing on me to find out what had happened to him. Me and his brother talked just about every day, if not every day, every other day, for the last, oh my God, at least a year to 2 years. And it was very very saddening to hear that he had passed. But in the spirit of that brother, he would want us to press on. He would want us to go ahead and do what he was trying to do, and that's just try to be better every day. And in light of that, I would say, hey, instead of my perspective, instead of being saddened, overly saddened by it, definitely sad to see him not be able to talk to him again and see and talk with each other, but definitely really have a little fire in my belly to go ahead and accomplish some things that I definitely want to accomplish in life. It just lets us know that life is very fleeting.
Amen.
And you need to take care of what you got to take care of.
Amen.
For the generations to come and for yourself in this life. So, amen.
Yes.
To the brother.
Yes. Yep. Thank you so much. We appreciate your kind words. Well, we're going to open up for Mrs. Sharon Steele from the Business Girlfriends Network. And let's give her a nice hand. She's coming on the show tonight.
I want to thank you for that definitely warm welcome. This is the thing that's kind of shocking and amazing at the same time. I came on because you gave me a text, but I had no idea of the passing. Mr. Hall would always text me and reach out and tell me about different opportunities and always wanted to work together on different projects. So the first time coming across my ears is when you just said it. So I'm shocked.
Sorry about that, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry about that. Yes.
Just an amazing, amazing brother. It's taken back. I've had COVID 3 times, so a lot of times I don't talk a lot because I'm just going through something in my own health. But I'm really taken back right now. I mean, like, I showed
right.
up for a reason. You know, because I get many texts, but I showed up tonight for a reason. But he was an awesome, amazing brother. His family's definitely in my prayers. We know he loved the Lord with all his heart. We know that. It wasn't even a shadow of a doubt about that. But he's just in my prayers, and just an amazing
right.
brother. But I'm honored to be here tonight, and I'm just honored to be here. So that's
thank you. Thank you so much.
Pride.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate you coming on with the kind words. You and Brother Fred is a fantastic opportunity to give chance to say something wonderful about the brother. We will all be there Monday I'm at the funeral, and we will progress on myself and other ministers that knew him as well. As you say, our brother beloved and a great, great, great person, and just a man after God's own heart. And so I thank you so much for coming on as well. And so we appreciate that and the kind words. And we ask anyone who wants to know further about the funeral, please give me a call, 914-363-9007, 914-363-9007. I sent out the information from the funeral home and the church, the location, the address, the timing, everything. I sent out to many, many people, many, many emails. If I missed your email, please give me a call. Or you can email me as well at revron, the number 11, at gmail.com. Revron, revron, the number 11, at gmail.com. R like Robert, E like Eddie, V like Victor, R like Ron, O like Only, N like Nancy, the number 11 at gmail.com, and I will forward all the necessary information to you. September the 13th, 9 a.m., is going to be the funeral, and the interment is going to be later on that afternoon. So please reach out to me if you need further information. Thank you so much. We appreciate everyone's kindness and everyone's coming on as well. So we're going to proceed now with Mr. Kenneth Lamont, and he has the technical information about credit. And he's been through a lot of credit situations himself, and he was intricate in coming on tonight to let us know all about credit. And we're going to bring him on right now. Give him a nice hand. Mr. Kenneth Lamont, so good to have you on, brother.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you originated from and what you decided to do as a young man and how you got yourself in credit situations and how you was able to get yourself out.
Okay. I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, so and I'm here in Dallas-Fort Worth area. I've been here for about 25 years or so. And my why kind of started 22 years ago when I was in the process of buying a home and went through that process. Home was pretty much done, 95% of it. And, you know, you go through that process of picking brick color and cabinetry and flooring and all those things and came down to it 2 weeks before the closing. Sales guy called us into the office and says, you know, he has some news for us. So we go in, and he says something appeared on our credit. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know anything about it. And he said in order for us to still close at that in that two-week time frame, we was going to have to come up with $50,000. And, of course, we didn't have $50,000. So basically all the anticipation of what we thought we were going to be moving into to get that close to it was pulled from underneath us. And so we had to walk away from that, you know, and so it was a gut-wrenching thing. And at that point, I vowed that I would never be in a credit situation, and I wasn't going to be able to do anything about it. So that kind of started my journey at that point, and that was back in 1999. And that's where it all started at that point.
What generally or if you can give us what specific thing that happened in your credit history that they missed a $50,000 deficit? You know, what could have happened that made them miss that?
Well, what they said was that it was something that appeared way after the fact. So this is months into building and going through all of that. So, you know, and a lot of times they will pull your credit a second time before closing just for that simple reason. And so they did that, and so that I had that we had some type of negative account that had popped up. And so when we talked to the sales guy, he said because of that negative item and the time frame that we was closing in, it wasn't enough time to try to remove the item. So the only way that they would probably, you know, like pretty much bypass it was to pay it. So in other words, it's kind of like what they call paying down the debt. We didn't have a $50,000 debt. I think it was like a couple hundred dollars. But the impact that it was on the credit was the thing. It could have been $2. It killed the whole deal. And for them, they couldn't extend it. They couldn't do anything based on just that one entry. So it was either pay or walk away. So obviously we had to walk away because we didn't have $50,000 and still continuing that process.
Now, after you decided that you will not end up in this predicament again, what did you do after that?
I got involved. I started to learn a lot of the things that you can't necessarily find online and through different organizations and things like that. So initially what I did was I joined a group, an organization. It was called ICR Services. And so it was a multi-level marketing company. And so we were signing up a lot of people, helping them with their credit, because back then it was either something like that or there were attorneys. So you didn't have a lot of credit repair people back then. That wasn't a popular thing. So what started to happen was, though, in signing those individuals up, it was asking question after question after question that I couldn't answer. They taught me how to sign you up, not educate you. You know, that was the whole goal. I wasn't there to try to, you know, provide any type of valuable information to help you other than help you sign up. That was it. So that became a provoking thing for me because I didn't like saying I didn't know. So I started to learn. And eventually I got to a point to where I stopped doing business with the company because of that. And then eventually they wound up going under anyway. And so that kind of started my journey in understanding. From there, I spent 13 years working for the banks. I had a certain stint of time where I worked for various debt collection companies, believe it or not. So I was able to see things on both sides. And so I was in default mortgage. I worked for all of the major banks on default mortgaging and talking to thousands upon thousands of people across the country. Then I worked for one of the largest at the time debt collection companies where we collected on medical bills and credit cards for Capital One. And so learned that, wasn't learning it to learn it. It was learning it to know how to collect on it, and I became real good at it. But then I realized that after going through some other programs with other people, that what we was collecting on, as they call debt, technically wasn't a debt. So once I started to realize what that was really about, I started doing a lot more research and found out that it was kind of an egregious thing the way that they were collecting. And I kind of stopped doing that, and I kind of turned all that around and then started educating other people on what they thought was debt was not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's where we are today.
Wow. So when you started looking in terms of your research, where did you go? Where did you start your research at? Like what materials or was it law books or where did you go to start your research?
I think one of the first things, just Googling things online. And then, you know, sometimes you Google something and you run across something that you wasn't quite really looking for, but it was really the thing that you needed. You know, it started, you know, things like that. I started to research the different sections of law called the UCC, which is the Uniform Commercial Codes. We started learning all types of laws that's never taught to you to make you understand what some of the things in finance are, because what we do is we actually follow the trend. We follow what individuals say. You don't challenge it, and you just do it, you know. And then once I started to understand it, it started to become a problem for others. And I'll just say that it had gotten to a point to where, and I'll say it this way, that I had a visit one day where I thought, at my house, where I thought it was two salespeople that came to the house, and, you know, I just opened the door and like, hey, can I help you? And come to find out, it was some, you know, I call them the low alphabet people, was knocking at my door and told me I need to stop doing what I was doing.
Mm.
And I said, well, I'm only repeating. I didn't make this up. Y'all made it up. God just blessed me and understand how to regurgitate it back to people. So they gave me that little warning. So I kind of changed up a little bit and not be so open from a standpoint of how things was being done, and then I started to reference the very thing. So now you can't come back and tell me I'm just kind of doing things kind of haphazardly and saying things that I probably shouldn't. Now I can read to you and cite to you various laws and statutes that say what things are. So if you want to come
wow.
back and say something to me about that, well, tell them to change what they did. This came from Congress. This didn't come from me.
Wow. Wow. So by you understanding the congressional laws as they pertain to the Privacy Act and Credit Reporting
mm-hmm.
Act and those things that the federal government put into place. A lot of times we don't get a chance to learn those things because what? They're so small, they're so detailed, and nobody wants to deal with that information, you know, so it gets very difficult to learn it. Okay, yes. So it's, and that's why I think they make it so small and so detailed, so we will not, you know, be able to get that intricately involved in learning it and studying it and getting the information out there as well.
Well, I think with that, and it's not that they make it small, because believe it or not, that was part of a law that was changed some years back, where companies had to do what was called, they had to make things to be conspicuous. In other words, they had to change the law and said that the fine print couldn't be fine print no more. So they had to change it to where the font had to be a certain size. Right, so fine print really was fine print. It was there where you could not read it, and who was going to strain themselves to try to read it and then try to figure it out, right? Nobody was going to do that. But just so you understand, mostly what that was and what you think is a contract under the law is called adhesion. Adhesion is take it or leave it, right? You see it every day. You don't realize what it is. So, for an example, you're doing something on your bank, for your app or something along that line, and then they ask you, do you agree? If you don't hit agree, you don't move forward, right?
Right.
That's one-sidedness is what that is. So if anything goes wrong, you're the only one that's responsible. These are what they call contracts, even though they have no element to a contract. They're not – these things are not the meeting of the minds. It's either you take it or you don't. So what do? We say agree, don't read it, and just keep on going. That's typically everything that we do today.
Correct. Wow. Interesting. So what I'm going to do right now is we got a full house, and I'm sure everybody has some questions pertaining to credit. We have mics already open up. We have Fred, your mic is open. Sister Sharon, your mic is open. If y'all have any questions for Mr. Kenneth Lamont in reference to credit, you can go right ahead. We can start with you.
Yeah, I guess my question would be. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Fred. Yeah, I guess one of my questions would be, do you have evidently you do, you have a service or something that's in place so I can send people to you or I can use you myself if I had something? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's Credit Education Group. You can go to our site, crediteducationgroup.com. And pretty much every platform, well, not every platform. We have, I'm only on Instagram and Facebook under that same tag, Credit Education Group.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah. And just kind of FYI, too, this is kind of beyond credit. I deal in litigation as well for individuals who are getting sued and or may need to sue, you know, for the things that's happening. So, you know, the two things really go hand in hand. So what we started a couple of years ago is something that I tagged in the credit world is dispute to litigate, where most people dispute to delete, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that it's a different mindset when you preparing everything. So when we say we dispute to litigate, we're not writing letters specifically for the credit bureaus or the actual creditors or debt collectors. We're writing our letters for the court. Okay, so there's a different mindset that goes in exactly what it is that you do when you dispute things. So that's the premise of what that whole dispute to litigate process is about.
And that probably would be the difference between something coming off somebody's credit and staying off, or something coming off for 2 or 3 months and popping back on there, right?
Well, what it does is it puts you in the position to where if the item does not come off, you have recourse. So a lot of times what happens is when individuals just do dispute to delete, they don't have recourse. So it's kind of like this typically. When a person submits something into the credit bureaus or whatever, they would say, you know, the item is not mine or it's incomplete, it's inaccurate, different things like that, but they never explain why. You know, it's just like, Fred, if I say, hey, man, I don't really care for you, and I just stop talking. Okay. Now what? You know? So you kind of leave it hanging without giving just cause of why. So if you're telling me that I created a mistake, you have to explain that mistake. If you don't, the bureaus might take it off. But like you said, it may come back. They may not come back from that same person. That person, well, a lot of folks don't recognize, is that these debt collection companies have subsidiaries. So they just give it to another one.
That's on somebody else. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what a lot of times people say it came back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I come in contact with credit a lot, man. This is powerful because I come in contact with credit a lot because I sell cars for a living. And I have a lot of people, you know, very good friends of mine. It's very disheartening to see one of your friends come and try to buy a car from you, and the guy's got $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 to put down, and they just flat out tell him no, you know. And I mean, I'm talking about the guy, you know, people who are making great money, you know, over $150,000 a year, or over $100,000 a year, and can't buy a car to save their life, man. You know, you sit down with people who, I sat down with a guy one time making $500,000 a year, and he couldn't buy a $26,000 car to save his life. You know what I'm saying? So it's always good to be able to direct somebody to someone like yourself who can really help them and get to the nitty gritty of how to clear some of this stuff. Or for the credit, powerful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, because I appreciate it, man. You know, a lot of times individuals look at credit as being kind of that you know, it's over. I can't do it. I won't get it, so I'll wait or whatever. But things have evolved so much in the last 10 years to where, like, for an example, I have a program that I don't care what your credit scores are. I can get you a minimum 5 to 6 accounts that's going to report to your credit on a positive, right? It doesn't matter. And these are not secure credit cards and things like that. These are what I call starter builder credit accounts, right? And so there's simply accounts that's out there that if I start to name them, you guys may or may not know what they are. Some of them you may, right? Mm-hmm. But the idea of being able to have that, even if you couldn't go through a credit repair process, if you will, at least you could start rebuilding and having positive trade lines placed on your file.
Yes. See?
That's the other part that a lot of times individuals kind of miss. You can build without repairing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Powerful, powerful. Yeah. Well, I definitely will stay in touch with you. And so you said give me the website again?
CreditEducationGroup.com.
CreditEducationGroup.com. Okay. Definitely. I got it.
Ken, you got it. Do you have a telephone number as well?
Yeah, it's 817-200-7814.
Say that again?
817-200-7814.
Okay. I believe Sister Sharon Steele, you had a question?
Yes, thank you so much. Absolutely. Amazing. Definitely, look, I did just schedule a consultation through your calendar to get some more information about your services. I currently work with helping people build their business credit, and I currently work with a few lenders that help people get funding, not traditionally based on they may not have the credit score has to be at a certain, if they don't have any collateral and if they have a business and it has a certain amount every month going in, then the credit score can be lower. But I definitely set a consultation with you. What I'm hearing is what really intrigued me is that, because I'm familiar with credit a lot, is that you do the litigation part, which a lot of people are not talking about that. You know, they're just, you know, and that's, like you said, we're not shading that, you know, part. We're not saying it's wrong or anything. But that's a whole different aspect opposed to somebody just disputing letters that you're doing a litigation.
Right.
Because example being, you have an eviction, say it was from 10 years ago, and it still keeps going on and on and on, but the original didn't start. It's like that. It's the trickery in that they're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a trickery.
Well, here's the thing. What it is, and this is with any, I'll say this way, any alleged debt, right? Whenever the original creditor or apartment complex deem it to be non-collectible, in turn, they do one of two things. They're going to either give it to a third party, which is just a servicing company to collect, or they sell it off.
Mm.
The person who uses the third party, the original creditor, still owns it. They just say, well, I'll let them handle my dirty work for me, right? So in apartment complex situations, you'll find that a lot of them do people wrong based on what they do. So in evictions, and in New York, it's notorious for it, because I have a couple attorneys up there and they tell me the stories about them. But what happens a lot of times when you move, let's say you sign up for your lease, you leave 6 months in. They now evict you. You don't show up to court, but you only miss a month's rent. Let's just say your rent is $1,000. You miss a month. But they ask in the court for $6,000.
Mm.
The court will never allow you to catch and to take future rent. The court is there to make you whole, not better. So the only thing they can award the company is what you owed. That's only the past $1,000. But what do you think you see on your credit report?
The whole lease amount. The whole lease amount. Or what the remaining
they
amount.
Or the $6,000. So the one thing that you could always do, and this would work, is you take that judgment. Believe it or not, you take that judgment. And you can contact the credit bureaus and say, hey, listen, this is reported inaccurately. Why? Because you had an adjudication that says, a court hearing that says that I only owe $1,000. Here's the paperwork. But yet on your credit report, it shows $6,000. So who do you think the bureaus are going to look at?
The judge.
They're
going to
say, you got a court seal. There you go.
Yeah.
Right? That's one part. The other part is that, let's say, same scenario, you get evicted and they don't know where you are. They send the notice to the place that you were staying because that's all they have. Now you have a judgment and an eviction on your credit. Well, guess what? That wasn't a proper service. Nobody never served you. So what you need to do is go back down to the court and say, yeah, I knew nothing about this. So the court might say, well, did you leave or what happened? That becomes a civil issue after and above the judgment because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Was I properly served? No, I wasn't. Well, Yana, where did it serve me at? Well, it served you at your last known address. Okay, well, obviously you said it, last known, so I don't live there no more. So how can you move forward because due process was never given to allow me to go in and stand and give my side of the story to remove that judgment from you, all because of proper service, improper service. So a lot of that stuff is happening, but we just don't know. We fight in a way that it becomes more emotional as opposed to strategic. Because we don't know and understand the laws. This is not something that we just learn. You know, you have to go through something a lot of times and you kind of pick it up. You know, everything that I tell people, things is 9 times out of 10, I personally went through it. I've had countless court cases, and I don't hire attorneys. Because, for one, I couldn't afford one. And second, nobody could tell my story better than me. I don't want to hire you to do that. So when I go to court, I stand my own ground.
Okay,
so
I do have a question, and thank you so much. That was definitely great information for those who's listening. I feel like I'm on the radio show right now. Like, literally.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking at your website because I'm just that person. And you have on here about your business funding. And I know you can't, you know, get into debt, but what are some of, like, the basic requirements for that?
Well, to be honest with you, though, I personally don't do it. I just have a few affiliations with different companies that I just refer individuals out. Basically, as you know, in most cases with the business credit, it's going to all be based on your personal credit.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and so basically, you know, as long as you're showing a minimum $10,000 as far as income and about a 650 to 680 credit score, you know, you can walk away with something.
And when you say $10,000, you're saying monthly income?
Yes.
Clear, because, you know, people are like, oh, $10,000. No.
Yeah.
He meant monthly.
Yeah, monthly. Yeah, not a year.
Your phone will start blowing up, $10,000.
Man, yeah. Exactly.
Gotta be clear with people. Okay. Yeah, I went straight to your website. I see you have your homeowners program. I see you have a lot of good stuff on here.
Yeah. We're still kind of – I had to redo it. So we're still going to be putting some other things on there. My goal really is to really start educating and teaching people more than anything, you know, because if you have the proper tools to do what you do and you have the right guidance and education about it, you technically don't have to pay anybody to do this, you know, for you, unless it gets kind of messy. I do a lot of my best work over the phone, because I have somebody that I can actually blame for everything that they said and did wrong. Right?
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of times, you know, and I'm going to start putting some of those things on there, some of the phone calls that I've had with people, you know, so that they can hear what we're saying, and you come back and you do the same thing. Because if you don't understand what you're dealing with, right, or know who you're dealing with, you won't know how to deal with them. Because technically you cannot, a debt collector can't talk to you about debt. Why? Because there is no debt. Right? What you use the word debt, it's always a reference to the person who extended it to you. Once that person is out of the picture, once he or she decides that they no longer wanted to collect, they figure that you were a person that would be non-collectible, they do a couple of different things. They either sell it or they come after you. If they sell it, guess what? It's no more debt. They've now been compensated three times in most cases, depending on how old it is. They got a tax credit that they never gave you credit for. They also have insurance on every single debt that you have. There's an insurance claim that's always being made because they're claiming a loss. An LOSS, not LOST. When they claim that loss, guess what they file? A claim. They get a partial compensation for the loss. Then they sell it to the debt collection companies and then tell you you owe the full balance. You see?
And they already, been paid because they've already,
yes, already been satisfied. It's already been satisfied. That's why I always teach that there is no such thing as owing a debt to a debt collector. There's technically not a such thing as a debt buyer. So let me read a definition to you guys. And this is straight from the FDCPA under the federal statute. This is a definition of what an actual creditor is, and I'm going to show you what a debt is to see why there is no debt collection from the process that we see it, right? So the term, well, let me give you the statute. The statute is 15 U.S.C. 1692A4, which is the definition of a creditor. And it says a creditor is any person who offers or extends credit, creating a debt, or to whom a debt is owed. But such term does not include any person to the extent that he receives an assignment or transfer of a debt in default solely for the purpose of facilitating collection of such debt for another. Now, a debt collector does what? Get accounts after default. They never extend you anything. The definition says debt is created from an extension of credit. But a debt collector on his paperwork says that this is an attempt to collect the debt. But he never extended anything to you that created that debt. But the definition also says that it cannot be by way of an extent for he who receives an assignment or transfer. What is that? Every debt collection account is an assignment. That's how they sell it. Okay? So if that's the case, the rules, the definition just told you that he, as a debt collector, cannot say you owe him a debt. It doesn't fall into the definition. Right? Then A5 of the same statute gives you the term of what debt means. So debt means an obligation or an alleged obligation of a consumer to pay money arising out of a transaction in which money, property, insurance, or services, which are the subject of the transaction, are primarily for personal, family, or household purposes. Here's the deal. If there was not an actual obligation that came from a transaction, how is there a debt? See, what we always say is, well, I didn't do business with you, so I don't owe you anything. Well, that's partially true. But you don't define who the person is. The person is really nobody, right? It's almost like they're this elusive, transparent thing. Because what they're doing technically does not exist. What they're doing is extorting money from people. That's my personal opinion. Because if you don't fit the definition of what you are, then what are you? You're claiming to be a debt collector, but you're collecting on something that's not classified as a debt no longer. But yet they pay them. That's what we're dealing with.
Wow. So next question. Who may, you know, are listening and they don't have the $10,000 income coming in monthly, do you have other options for more non-collateral loans or loans that wouldn't require that type of income?
Yeah,
I know you don't. I understand that, but do you have the resource to direct them?
Well, this is what I do. Because business credit is not really my thing, but I do use it, like even personally, because of the fact that it does, in most cases, operate from the personal. And so basically the nugget for me that I could tell any and every person is find out who the companies pull from. Make sure that your profile is in good order. That's going to be the first thing. If your profile, meaning your credit, it's not right. If you got too many inquiries, you don't really have, I won't say large, but decent lines, you know, trade lines on your report, then depending on what you're trying to get to, whatever that financial goal is, it might be a little difficult for you if you don't have what they're looking for, right? So what I show people a lot of times is that, listen, if you think you got a, you know, 680 or better, I'm going to show you three different institutions that you can go to, three different ones. So you'll have one inquiry per bureau because each of them are going to pull from three different bureaus, three different companies, three different bureaus, all at one time, right? When I first started doing it, I did it, and I did like $32,000 in one day. I was only looking for 10, right, as my rainy day. But I'm like, oh, this easy. Jesus, and I thought. Now, I didn't read that nowhere. It just made sense to me. So it's the same concept for business, because all you're doing, if your credit scores are decent and you know you need some money, just make sure your credit file is at a 650 to a 680 or better. Credit unions preferably, right? That's who I like to use. Because I have a tendency to get higher limits from them as opposed to the traditional banks, right? And so now so many of the credit unions are opening them up to everybody now. I think Navy Federal is one of the only ones that you still got to have some criteria. Even they've kind of lacked a few things. But that's how I see doing those, because if they're going to pull your personal credit anyway to be attached to your business credit, then find the companies. First, determine exactly how much money you want or need, and then go to each bureau. So if you did that six times, that's only two inquiries. You're still good if you haven't had any for the most part in the last 6 months to a year. That's how I tell people to do it, just without a company.
Now, with inquiries, they changed the rules a little bit. Are you able to educate people how to get the inquiries off?
I can tell you how to get inquiries off. I don't really get into it so much like that, because for me, it's really about, you know, educating individuals on the process before you get there, because I found that that's really the bigger issue than anything, because now you do have the inquiries because you've made these different plays for different banks and you didn't get it. So now you have those inquiries on there, or you didn't get what you wanted. So I'm probably not the best person to talk to about the business side of things so much. If you dealing with trying to get money and things of that nature like that, to me, it's not hard. But I can't say, yeah, I could help you get 100 or 200,000.
I'm talking about like from 30 to 50,000. The reason why I'm asking, I'm probably being taking up everybody else's time, and I'm sorry. Somebody else want to speak? I apologize. I have a group. I'm sucking up all your energy right now. I have a group of women that about on Facebook, and I don't know if any of the listeners are familiar with a platform called Clubhouse. And in Clubhouse is a platform, and you will be somebody I would definitely like to bring on stage, because what I'm finding in Clubhouse, everybody is talking about credit repair. Everybody's talking about getting business credit and, you know, with this and that, which I know how to do some things where you just use your EIN, which you don't have to use your Social Security, but it's very limited. But you will get some – you will get some credit cards that, you know, you have to make sure you do it correctly, because you do have to have your business established. So I show the women how to establish your business correctly. If it's okay with the host of the show, so we go into a room Clubhouse. I'm in conversation with you. You know, I always ask. I just don't overstep. Definitely go in a room at Clubhouse, or even coming in my platform on Facebook, and we do a Facebook Live, because the women are real. I did a poll, and they are really – interested in funding, and you know, I could be raw with them inside my group. Like I tell them, listen, you want somebody to give you money, but you're raggedy. And when I say that, I'm just saying, honest. I mean, if you want me, you come to my bank. I say I have the money, and you want money from me. And I look, and the only thing, because I don't know you, no person. I prefer not to know you, but no personal relationship. And so the only thing I have to look at is what this credit score is saying. And on there, you got 400. You may have the best business idea in the world, but unfortunately, I don't know you personally, and I don't lend money to people I know personally anyway. It just never works out, but you gotta. You can't get mad and say, okay, well, they no. And if you never start to get it together, I mean, if, like I said, if you start now, 6 months from now, you'll be better. But if you never start 6 months now, you're still going to be in the same spot.
Right.
So why not just start?
Yeah.
So I would definitely, I did a consultation on your calendar, talk about us and Reverend Ron getting in that group, because the women, it's a lot of startup business entrepreneurs in there, and they need funding. And everybody is not qualifying for, and I tell people the reason why you're not qualifying for SBA is because your credit score to qualify under business credit for SBA is too low, because SBA wants a certain credit score for you to qualify, and then you don't even have the tax that they need. Now, in the beginning, they weren't asking for all that, but then when everybody started in fluctuation, you know, they put things in place. You got to show this stuff in order to get the money. So I definitely would like to bring you on that platform, even going Clubhouse, because that would bring such an audience, because all everyone is doing right now is talking about how to get credit, credit, credit. What to do in credit, But I've never heard, you're the first person, and I'm not going to say, I'm not going to say never, because maybe I haven't been everywhere, but you're the first person that came across my ears, and I'm in a lot of rooms that talk about litigation and credit. Everyone's talking about credit repair, and that's fine, but just like you said, it's a whole different level to that, because everybody can't always afford it. Doesn't mean they won't get there one day. It's like you're kind of capitalizing off of people, you know, because of lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
But we want to help each other, because once I get the money, like I tell you, once you get the money, now you can take this money. I said an extra $25,000 can help you start somewhat in a business. I mean, okay, you may not be able to do everything, but at least you can start somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And then maybe you can do another business that doesn't require as much capital, so you can get to the business that you really wanted, but at least you're starting.
That's it. And I think a lot of that is where, because there's so much that's out here now where, you know, so many people are kind of spewing off of what I call parrot people. They just repeat what they hear. They haven't experienced any of it, you know. And half the people who do credit got the worst credit, you know. And so, but, you know, life happens to everybody. But at the same time, you know, I didn't have the best credit at one point. You know, I went through, but the thing about it was, though, I knew how to get out of it. And that's the thing. See, it's never bad when you know how. You just have a delay. And that's all that it is. But if you are always kind of, you know, a step ahead of what the situations are, like typically we don't sit down and talk about where we see our economy going. You know, I know COVID is real. It's out there. It's been a hindrance for a lot of people. But then when you look at how many millionaires have been made in the last year based on COVID, that says something.
Absolutely.
It says something. So it's a process of now taking us by the hand and saying, hey, listen, let me show you what I did. You know, let me show you how I did it. It's not, I'm just not, after 22 years of doing this, I've finally gotten to a point to where I'm ready to open a playbook that I've done, and share. I have some of my attorneys that tell me things like, man, Ken, I never looked at it that way before. And, they'll tell me, say, man, I don't agree with everything you say, but it's interesting. Because a lot of times what happens is that everything becomes so mundane to where nobody thinks about it. Okay, well, when you go buy a car, you go to the dealership, put down payment down, and you walk off with the car. Why are you doing that? You know, that's not the best positioning sometimes for you. Find you a credit union. And again, you don't always have to be a member of it. Find a credit union. If you understand who they pull, if you understand what their scores need to look like, in a couple months, if you have that time, build yourself up. Get a better rate. You know, you still might not get the car you want, but you won't be in your pocket so much.
Yep.
Yeah. But you don't want to be in, you know, you don't want to be a man down twice. You don't want to be in a car you don't really want, and your money is real tight because you're paying way too much for it. You see? There's a lot of different things that we can do to kind of shave off things based on what, you know, what people could tell you but won't tell you. If they tell you, they'll charge you for it.
Absolutely.
You know?
So. Definitely. What can you give out a good contact number that I can, as I said, have a group of women and have a group with business credit that I help them with, just using their EIN. Like I said, and I'm very transparent because a lot of people trick people to say, oh, you don't need to use your social. I said, listen, you want to get this funding from the bank, they're going to need a guarantee. Okay, who you think is going to give you $500,000 in just EIN? And no one is guaranteed on this. So to get there, you first got to get there first. So you do have your business book a certain, but you also got to have your personal credit. But like I said, Sam's Club, you can get a Sam's Club business card, like people don't, and just use your EIN. But you got to have your business credit with a certain amount of trade lines on it. They do not ask you for your social score up to $25,000. In the beginning, they make $8,000, but I told somebody, you can start going with $8,000, depending on what type of business it is. And if that doesn't work, then get into a business that can work and build capital from there. Like I tell people, the greatest business that I've always worked with is network marketing, because it's basically once you know a formula, you're buying product and you got to just know how to push the product and you invest back in it and you're building, because you're building. So I definitely would like to, if it's okay with Reverend Ron, once again, I ask. I definitely would like to connect.
Just get that love offering.
Okay, just right. You know what I've learned since I've been away, affiliate marketing is the thing. And I tell the ladies, listen, yes, this may cost that, but I'm going to give you a percentage off of what I do because you brought that person to me. Because that's a lot of times what I'm finding people don't do. Affiliate marketing is, and it's no investment in affiliate marketing. It's my services, but you brought the people to me. But guess what? You can make some money, and that can help your business. You know, you got the service. Mm-hmm. It worked great. Tell 10 of your people. I'm just giving an example. The product was $99, and I throw you $45. Okay, you brought 10 people. All you did was bring them to me. You didn't do anything. I mean, far as physically, that's $450 that you'd have made. You know, I tell you, I said, okay, if you didn't get nobody coming to you, you wouldn't have got no money. So why are you giving? Okay, so what if I didn't get nobody? So I'm just sitting here with this package. I'm not getting anybody. But okay, if I got somebody that got 10 people, I don't mind splitting it in half because I wasn't getting anyone. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't getting nobody. So I made something opposed to nothing. The mindset has to change. So, yes, the love offering, the affiliate marketing will come to you. So that's why I was going with that story. If you can, as I said, and I'm not here to, you know, I came on. It's just amazing. I guess timing and positioning is everything. I was led to come on. I thank you for sending me that text. But if you can give me your number, as I said, my name is Sharon Steele, and don't laugh when I say this. You can Google me.
Okay.
Literally, you can Google me. someone called me from, I guess, when I put in information. I think someone called me from your company. We're on the line now, but I didn't click over. But I definitely would like to connect, definitely in Clubhouse or set something on Facebook inside my community because the women, we did a poll, and I'm going to say 75% of the women are looking for funding. But I tell them, listen, you know, you're running your business as a hobby. You got to structure yourself. And even if you get a first $8,000, don't look at it like it's only $8,000. You can kind of make that work for you. You can make it work. Don't despise the small beginnings, but you got to start somewhere. You're not going to start off getting $2 million. You got to show yourself. You got to prove yourself for $2 million. You know, start somewhere. So if you can give out your number, because I'm pretty sure everyone wants your number now.
Now,
Ken, this is a person that rides a Bentley, lives in a mansion,
You know what? This is the joke. Dating is very hard for me. So I said I am selling my Bentley. Someone told me the way you live is a blessing and a curse. The blessing is that you're comfortable and you're very independent. The curse is that most men are very intimidated by you. I'm like, what? I said, okay, that's crazy. Okay, that's a whole nother show and a whole nother topic. We're not going to go down that road.
Wow.
Reverend Ryan even sent his henchman to my house to make sure I was right. <like. laughs>
And that's
I'm like, she really does live like that. I'm like, yeah, I do, but I am selling my Bentley. I'm just tired of it. I only drive it three months out the year. It just really serves me no purpose.
Sharon, selling Bentley is another show as well.
Oh, God. So, yeah, I am just an ordinary person that just made some good moves, that's all. But I'm appreciative that I got it because I was looking for someone solid to connect with business credit because I talk to a lot of people, but I'm learning in my walk I can only connect with certain people because, you know, of what I believe and what I stand for. And before I introduce somebody to my tribe, I got to make sure that we both are like-minded. We don't have to do the same thing all the time, but we definitely have to be on the same page.
Exactly.
You know, I don't like all the trickery and a lot of stuff people do and don't tell the truth. You know, these are the loans I don't, this is what I don't like, and I found out people will charge you to get a loan. Why are you charging me to get a loan?
And you know
like,
the thing
you
about that is, though.
That's the game now. That's the game now. Pay up front.
Well, they
to get
charge.
A loan. What?
Oh, up front?
A front? No, no, no. I'm not talking about on the back end. I get the back end part. I get the back end. I'm saying they charge you before you get started. So I don't get the loan. You got my money.
Oh, yeah. That ain't right.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, the back end, I get that part because normally you probably wouldn't have got it and things like that. And I get that part. It's a percentage. I get that. A fee, I get. But not up front.
No. No. No, you can't get anything up front because you haven't even, you haven't produced for that. So
exactly.
So why would you charge somebody for it?
Oh, I've seen a lot go on in the last 2 weeks. I'm like, wow. And people are really doing it. And I'm like, the back end I get, but not up front. That's why the person's going for the loan.
Yeah, boy, that's the devil right there. Don't make no sense.
Probably. I've seen so much, so I'm very overprotective over my community and my group. But I want them to be able to scale because, like I said, for them, I have a formula. Like I said, okay, you get $8,000 from Samsung, and I see you to come invest like $600 with me, and I'm able to get you in this investment $1,000 every 2 weeks. That's a start. That's a start.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? But it's a formula, and the thing is, people have to be dedicated to the formula. You can't get in, and you got to do what's required, and that's the thing. And you could take that money, then go back to your business or start building your business, like marketing. I have a marketing team now. There's so many things I have in place with marketing. People don't put that in place in business. They just get the great business idea, which is great, but you don't want to burn your family and friends out. You need to know how to market. Now I have a television show goes in 100 million homes.
Wow.
So
that's why you driving that Bentley.
Well, no, I had the Bentley before the show. I had the Bentley before the show. I am selling it. I'm telling you, it's so hard to get a relationship with that car. I just, every time somebody walks into their car, they never call me back.
See? Like, yeah, you too much.
I'm done. Y'all, that's a true story. I didn't have 10 people walk me to my car, and they never call me back.
We're gonna have to get you on. We gotta get you on them Oprah shows or something. Oprah might know how it is.
I'm like, that's what she's been wanting
for
so long.
But next thing you know, you go drive anything less, then you're gonna still be attracting the wrong person.
Yeah, that's true too, right? And it's so hard to go to something else if you didn't drove a Bentley. It's really so hard because I told him, I want that Rolls Royce truck. And you think you got problems now.
Man. Yes, indeed.
You really
think people be waving at you thinking you're in the parade.
But where I live at, they drive those types. So it's nothing to where I live at. It's like, okay, they don't. It's an everyday thing where I particularly in the area I live in. But when I go in the city, it's a little different. But I'm telling you, every time somebody walks into my car, it's over with. I know. I'm like, it's over with. They're not going to call me back. They're just not going to call me back. I just don't.
Then you go get you a little rental.
I do. Get a rental car, right? I have a truck.
Yeah.
I said I was going to. I just don't like driving the SUV because it's so big. But I said I'm going to start driving my truck. But I'm not going on no dates. I'm on a sabbatical now. I'm tired of the date. And I'm like, I'm done. That's just too much.
Okay.
I could do a whole reality show. That's what we need to do is a reality show.
You just did one.
I'm sorry, Carlos. I know this is about credit.
Hey, see what I got you into, Ken. See what I did this.
Hey. That's
sorry.
Something right there.
Ken, okay, we need your number because we definitely want to connect in Clubhouse in the community. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got questions. I'm sorry. What's your number?
Well, it's on the site, too. So if you go to crediteducationgroup.com, you'll see the number there.
But
I can still give it to you. It's 817-200-7814.
Okay. Okay, well, you have answered all my questions. I am good.
Okay. Well, let me know if you got
bless your heart.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we go to commercial break, I want everybody to stay where they're at. Nobody leaves. Rolls Royces and all. Everybody stay where you're at. I want to open up the mic from a man himself, Brother Harris Walker, who knew Professor Gregory Hall very well, and who has a hands-in-hands nonprofit organization helping people in need. I want to give him a nice hand and bring him on and give him something to say in reference to Brother Gregory Hall. Yeah. Brother Harris Walker, so good to have you on.
Hey, how's it going? How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's having a great day. I'm Harris Walker. I'm the CEO of Hand in Hand Foundation. We're the one with the ampersand, not the ends and the ands and the ors. We're the real one. And we're a children and environmental organization, 501c3 nonprofit. And, you know, we're working on change. We're working on, I can't help the children until I help the parents. So I had to create things to help the parents. Brother Greg Hall, man, I've been trying to get in contact, get some news or anything. Has anybody heard anything from him?
Oh, I sent you the email. Just like Sister Sharon Steele, I thought you knew as well because I sent emails out to everyone. Brother Hall had passed about a week ago, and I try to reach out to everybody, you know, get the information out to you as well.
Well, I may have got the email. You know how my email is. It's so flooded every day.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Right, yeah.
And I was trying to get him to go to the hospital, trying to get him. Did they say what it was?
Pastor Willie Saunders said that when he spoke to him, he mentioned that he was in that place, the motel there, and he mentioned that a lot of people had the virus. And so I'm going to assume, I don't know, you know, the medical reporting thing, I'm going to assume that that was a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried to get him to go to the hospital earlier. You know,
yes.
I just didn't know where he was. He was supposed to text me the information because, you know, I got people all over. So I was going to have people
right.
go check on him, you know. But he never gave me the information. We got so busy doing everything else. I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, Brother Hall, you know, we kind of had the same mission on part of our mission. Hand in hand, we do so much. But, you know, our mission was to try to help people create multiple streams of income, try to unite people through new technology that would create a financial base where people could afford to invest into different programs. And we were creating a step-by-step plan through different tech programs and so on and different investments like Tron and Tron Case, et cetera, to help people create generational wealth in a community-based setting where everybody wins. You know,
correct.
So and we were working on these things and you know, and other investment plans for you, and his loss is going to be a really big loss, you know, to everybody because
yes.
of the things that we were doing, you know, but it's not going to stop. Understand me, we can't stop. We keep going, you know. We find the next great. Crypto mine out there, investment mine out there, young or old, doesn't make a difference where you are. It's all about
correct
people.
Correct. Correct.
You know, so my thing is, I kind of felt it in my heart that when both of his phones was off, that something had happened to him, but I couldn't find nobody. I called all the hospitals I could out there. You know, nobody
right.
had any record of him. You know.
Correct.
So
it's lousy out there, I tell you.
Yeah, man. I mean, and we gotta be, you know, I wanna say something about this virus too, you know. You have to understand it is real. It is real. If you can, if you want to, get the shot. If you don't want to, at least try to protect yourself. Protect others around. Wear a mask. Use proper sanitary procedures. You know, this is nothing to play with. And the bad part, it's not like heart attacks and diabetes and et cetera. This is contagious.
Right.
Meaning it can be shared. And we may say, oh, it's only killing 5% of people or the population, but we're talking over 8 billion people in the population.
Correct.
And that's correct. 5% this round. What
correct.
About the next round? So the only way
you know,
we're going to
do something else, brother, you know something else people mm-hmm. better do? If people got to do, you got to get yourself checked. If you're not feeling good, whether you're going to take a shot or not take a shot, go see a medical professional and know what's
thank
going
you.
On with your body. You know,
because he
that's
was
very
sick
important.
For about 2 weeks, and I kept telling the man, just go to the hospital. And he was worried about medical insurance. I said, man, go to a county hospital. Can't nobody refuse you. That's the law.
Right.
They cannot refuse you
right.
service. Go to any hospital. We'll worry about a bill later.
Exactly.
You know?
Especially emergency rooms. People go to emergency rooms. Emergency
and
rooms cannot turn
bad.
You down. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cannot
there
turn
you go.
Down. I don't care in what neighborhood, wherever.
That's
see,
true.
But us black men, we have a problem with doctors. I don't think
correct.
It's a fear. I think what it is that it's, you know, I don't have the time. I got to get my hustle on or, you know, I ain't got time to be sitting in a doctor's office. I'll get over it.
Amen.
I already died. I died twice in March from a heart attack.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. God got me still here on this planet. And the second time I died, it took 4 defibrillator hits. They were about to quit on me, but the surgeon said he can't because he, I guess, he said, well, I don't know who this guy is, but there's a lot of people that he did. Well, what happened, when people had found out I was in the hospital, the heart surgeon that was doing my emergency surgery, somebody had called him and told him he needed to be my surgeon. And he's one of the top heart surgeons in Sacramento. And
wow.
He didn't know it was me. I didn't even know about this until like 3 days later. But he didn't know it
wow.
was me until he looked at the chart and said, oh, I just got a call for this guy. You know, so I don't
wow.
know who the hell he is, but he knows some people in the right places.
Wow.
Know, I had the Rolls Royces and stuff too. I got rid of all of them.
And you couldn't get
I
a
got
day
rid of
either,
all
right?
of You know. I know a lot of people, too. I can be Google, too, you know.
And you couldn't get a date either.
You know, yeah, hey, I don't know. I could always get a date. That was the problem. I had to be careful. And I'm going to tell you, y'all think you want that fame? Okay, yeah, right. No, you don't. No, you don't. Trust me, you don't want that fame. You got to change your entire lifestyle. But that's a whole nother story. But yeah, so we're trying to teach people to get how to create multiple streams of income. We're raising money for the Healthy Homes program. Let me tell you about that program because that's one of the greatest things to slice bread. The Healthy Homes program is about building sustainable green homes that you pay no utilities. All the utilities are provided through technology. It's a tech home, but at the same time, it's affordable. It's less cost to build, it's faster to build, et cetera, and we can use different building concepts and so on. And if you have an existing home, the same technology, we're going to, as I bring these other programs out, the same technology we will be selling and creating a sales base of people. Because, see, I want to keep people working as long as possible because y'all don't understand what's coming. But I want to keep people working as long as I can. So we want to create as many jobs as we can through our programs, through other programs. We're willing to partner with everybody. I'm partners with everybody from Amazon to the NFL already. So, I mean, small businesses, yeah, affiliate marketing, yeah, let me help. What can I do for you to help you help me help other people? So, if I can help your business, and I have a wealth of business knowledge, trust me, I retired at 31.
Wow. Wow,
okay.
Great.
So I have a wealth of business knowledge. My daughter's business, which I'm helping her with right now, she started it with $100 and a hustle. and now it's a six-figure business. But, you know,
great.
I can show you. I start businesses and get bored with them and sell them.
Wow.
Or just stop.
Wow.
All right. So wow. I create things, you know, and I just started working for things that people need. So what we need is clean water. I got that for you.
Great.
What we need is low cost of living, decrease our cost of living. I got that for you. You know, but we got to do it together.
Wow.
We got to do it together. Let's build together. So now, and then I want an investment program, put together an investment program where the people own communities now. We build communities, our own schools, businesses, the whole nine yards. And guess what? It's generational wealth because you will not be able to sell these.
Amen.
You have to pass it down your lineage. So to me, generational wealth isn't a house that can be sold and, you know, because that's what most of them going to do. They want to sell and get the money now. They don't believe in hitting and holding on to it for years. But this way, if we're owning communities, all rental properties, for instance, you have generational wealth. We have wealth coming every month.
Great.
You know,
great.
We created a check every month, you know.
Wonderful.
So, but we have to do it together, you know. So everybody shop at HHF Mall. That's my online mall. I have Amazon to Walmart, over 270 stores, and every purchase gives back to us, helps us earn to build these programs. So I made it simple for people to be a part of it. Just shop through us. That's all you got to do. And support our events. We got a whole bunch of different all around the country.
Great. Do you have a telephone number where people can reach you and a website?
The website is real easy to find. The website, just Google HHF space MALL mall, HHF mall. That mall is on our website. And then while you're there, take a walk through our website. See some of the things Hand in Hand is doing. This is our new website, so we're still adding. Our website really never stops growing anyway because we do so much. But we're going to start showing some of the projects and some of the things we've done all over the country, from shipping, you know, over 5,000 pounds of brand-new clothing to disaster areas to feeding thousands. You know, I build self-sustaining programs. So that's why a lot of people never heard of us. We never had to ask for donations.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, it's so good, you know, having you on, and you know, you're always welcome here every Friday night, the Black Billionaires Network Club, and sharing the memories of our brother as well. And we thank you so much for coming on.
Definitely.
Thank
Man.
You. Okay. God bless.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Kenneth Lamont, we got some more callers in as well. We're going to open up the mic. You're still there with me, right, Ken? We have a busy night tonight. Ken, you're still there? Ken?
I hope we didn't move him.
No, I'm sorry. I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So I'm opening up another a mic here. 914-979, your mic is open.
Okay, my brothers. I hope everyone's doing well. And just wanted to say this is good to, you know, really have this for our people with the credit to us because it really helps, you know, in regards to allowing folks to financially be able to be more flexible and be able to purchase properties, cars, and, you know, different things. So this is a good thing. And also, one of the things that seems almost to be a secret is that a lot of people don't know about business credit. And that's something that, you know, even if you have bad credit, you can still get business credit and get, you know, business cards that could even go up to $50,000 or $100,000, which is good, you know, in getting that. And, you know, just have to know what cards to get and how you could start to build your credit up for your business. And then you can utilize that business credit, as I said earlier, and you can buy a car, a house, you can invest in you know, different things like stocks or cryptocurrency and things like that. And that's another part of it. You know, we need to have programs that can show people how to do that properly instead of just throwing their money away by investing in the wrong things. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to say, my brother, it's good to see that you're dealing with the credit, because even a personal credit is an important piece, you know. And what people can do is do both at the same time. And this way you can, you know, borrow more money and things of that sort off of the, you know, business credit. And you can also build your personal credit up as well. So both of those lines of credit are good to have at a good working position that you can move on and get things rolling. So do you deal with business credit and personal credit, or just personal?
I primarily deal with the personal credit, but like you said, the two go hand in hand. So I have different affiliations that I work with. You know, I really stay in my lanes, but I do have those affiliations where individuals can go to, you know, get the building of the business credit, you know, making sure that things are, you know, like Sharon said in the beginning, make sure your profiles and things like that are set up, you know, correctly the first time around. So, you know, we do guide and those kind of things, but, you know, at the end of the day, even if you had those things set up, and if that personal credit is not where it needs to be, in most cases, you're not really walking away with, you know, with any substantial money at all.
Oh, so you're saying they changed the business credit program? They won't let you take cards anymore?
Okay, say that again.
You're saying that with the business credit, you can't get cards anymore?
I didn't quite understand. You can't get what?
Well, they call it lines of credit or business cards that you can get.
Well, you're gonna you're gonna mostly get business or corporate accounts, but when you start talking about getting actual money, in most cases, it's gonna be tied to your personal credit as a guarantor. It'll still report to your business credit, but it's gonna be coupled with your personal credit in order for you to get it in most cases.
Fantastic, fantastic. I want to ask you, in terms of young people, okay. Young person starting out, maybe 18 years old. I hear a lot about, especially in the historical black colleges and universities, you hear a lot about tremendous amount of debt that young people accumulate over the years of being in college universities. If they're going to 2-year, 4-year, 6-year programs, associates, masters, PhDs, or programs, and they accumulate all this debt. What would be your suggestion to a young person starting off in college before they start to accumulate these loans and whatnot to continue their education? Are there any vehicles or ways that they can protect themselves so that when they do graduate, either got a minimum amount of debt? You know, I know a lot of these billionaires now, African-American, are paying off the debt for the students at the HBCUs. They're starting to pay it off for them, which is a blessing. I know they're doing it for Howard. They're doing it for different universities. But I'm saying in terms of the general populace of young people going into college and going into university, graduate school, postgraduate, undergraduate, what would you suggest that they do to protect themselves so they don't get overwhelmed with debt?
Man, that's a loaded question. I think because – man, I'm telling you, I think the biggest thing is before you even decide that you want to go to college, you need to first understand that industry that you're going in and make sure that it's viable. Because I think that a lot of times when kids are coming into college, they think they know what they want, right? And they get there, and like you said, now you have accumulated these student loans, and the first however many years of your life, that's what you're paying back. Or you just defer them until Jesus call you home, right? So it's hard with that. But what I would say is that try to get grants if you can or scholarships before you go. There's a bunch of them out there. There's a lady here in Dallas who I used to work with. That's what her whole business was about, showing you how to get scholarships. There are scholarships, and you can stack them, right? You can stack those scholarships if it's not
something that you got academically or sports or something like that. Just an everyday person going to college, you can start getting scholarships before you go. That's probably the safest way. I'm all about education. I'm just not always a fan of college necessarily. I'm not against college. And the reason why I say that is that so many people that I see have gone to college and they don't do what they went to college for.
Wow.
Doing something else.
Wow.
So it became a waste of time and you're doing something else. I had a good friend of mine. He went to college and back home in Louisiana, and he went to one of the most expensive schools, and he came out and took the test to get the Series 6 license, and that's what he started doing. But he spent 4 years getting a bachelor's degree.
Wow.
And don't use it.
Wow.
You know what I'm
Incredible.
Saying? So, and a lot of people do it. So it's right now, believe it or not, there's more vocational schools that you can start making more money with sooner if you added up the time that you spend in college off of a 10-month program. Mm.
Interesting.
Even looking at things like that. Yeah.
Right.
Because it's just, matter of fact, it was a deal some years back on, it was either 2020 or 60 Minutes, where they had all of these people that had gone to college, could not find a job, right, and they hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and wind up going to vocational schools, and wind up getting more money with that than what they would have made with the degree.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Interesting. Wow. Well, you know, we have some more exciting people on as well. We have our Reverend Morrell P. Brown, Coach Morrell from Leadership and Life show on Wednesday night, 7 to 9, and everybody knows her. And we're going to give her a nice hand and bring her in as well.
Thank you, Reverend Dr. Ron. Wow, what a blessing. I wasn't able to be on.
I should have had you introduce me when I came on the first time.
I just actually got off what we call, it wind down. You know, people come on with their favorite beverages. That's part of the American Business Women Association. And I just said, let me get on and support my brother really quickly. Dr. Ron is just always a blessing. And who was the guest for tonight?
We have Mr. Kenneth Lamont. He had strategically understanding of credit from a legal perspective.
Oh, wow.
He's been giving us some great jewels in terms of credit.
Yes.
You were talking about, you know, young students coming out. And I know you're an educator, and you know
yes.
how our young kids go into colleges and universities and come out in tremendous debt. So we were talking about,
yes.
you know, ways and means to do that. And one thing he said was very intricately important. Say that again, Ken. So Coach Morrell can hear you say what you just said about the kids coming out of colleges and universities.
Well, I was saying that you know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes I will say, like, the high schools don't do a good job of vetting the kids to let them know, you know, some of the pitfalls of them
yeah.
either not going to the right place, not picking the right degree to try and, you know, obtain, and then where you're going to practice whatever it is that you're doing, you know, different things like that, because I've ran into so many people over the years who are in college, got degrees, and don't operate in them. They
yeah,
wind up
true.
Doing something else or another, you know. And so what I've started to see as kind of a trend, and I think everybody sees it and may not have recognized it, why you have all these online schools. You have these
yes.
these schools that you can get certified in something and go get a job in less than a year, and you're working.
Now, you're 100% know? Correct, Mr. Kenneth. Yeah, just being able to weigh
mm-hmm.
the pros and cons is so important. You know, again, you're coming out, like you said, $100,000 in debt and not working in your fields and not making the money, and then you really end up being, in a sense, an indentured servant once you get that job. Because they
yeah.
give you, what, something in 6 months just to pay it off? I mean, well, at least to start paying it. That's not a lot
right.
of time, you know, especially
no.
with the market. So thank you for what you do. is so important, you know, just for everyone, just to become, to do their due diligence and see what would be more cost effective and economically and time-wise, you know. Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
okay,
you,
we're gonna thank you for that interesting comment. I'm sure a lot of people will learn from that. And we're going to have you back on, Kim. We're going to talk a lot on subject matter of colleges, universities, jobs, careers,
yes.
Work that money, work that don't make money. You know, Malcolm just always say, go to college not to become a worker, but become a business owner. And so I think that's the trend. You know, America's a business-orientated country. And, you know, people always say the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I say, well, I think I like to be on that side where the rich get richer. I like to play on that team, you know. You know, if people understand what I'm saying. Yes, if people can understand it. I'm going to open up a mic, 571-264. You're on with Mr. Kenneth Lamont. We're talking about credit and how to use it and how to not abuse it. 571-264. Your mic is open. Maybe you got to unmute yourself. 571-264. Okay, great. Okay. Well, you're a listener. If we have some minutes left here, anyone else have any more questions or for Mr. Kenneth Lamont? I mean, incredible information that he has in terms of the litigation. He said he just don't repair credit; he litigate credit. So that's tremendously important as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody have any questions? How about 314-381, your mic is open.
How you doing? It's Pianchi. You know,
hey, Pianchi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Happy to see you still in good health.
Thank you so much.
You know, one of the things that I noticed, and it's published, when you're talking about African-American college students, they are overrepresented in low-paying majors.
Hmm.
And that has a correlation with the educational experience that they received coming up through elementary school. They weren't prepared. And when they are challenged on that somewhere in high school, for instance, like on ACT tests or college entrance exam, they realize, and therefore they would choose a avenue that don't challenge them in what they already know that they're weak. I think that needs to change because when you look at the data, the number of blacks that's in the science field and the engineering field, it's less than 3%, sometimes less than 2% when it comes between males and females. That has to change. That plays a big bearing on your ability to earn a living, high wage, high salary, just by having good credit. So should there not be more emphasis and a more assertive effort to make sure that these young people are prepared and the decisions are made early on rather than the last moment?
Yes, that's for you, Mr. Kenneth Lamont.
Oh, was it a question? I'm sorry. I thought you was making a statement, more or less. I would have a tendency to agree with that because I'll give you kind of my back. You know, I spent 9 years in the military. So for me, you know, I knew early on I wasn't going to college. That just wasn't in the cards for me. So when I decided that I wanted to do something else, that's what I did. But I wind up going to school at 25. I went to Southern University and didn't finish it, but I didn't have to pay for it either. You know, so I personally think that if we start to put into kids' minds, like right now, my son is 8. He follows me. He watches me. He knows what I do, right? He even told me one day, he says, Dad, oh, that's a good work shirt. I like that one. Because I take him shopping with me, right?
Mm.
And it was amazing to me the fact that he was able to distinguish a work shirt.
Now,
wow.
It's just a button down. But he watches me so to a point to where when he knows the difference of me going, just hanging out, going to the store, whatever, or I'm going to work. And he'll say, okay, Dad, so when you get back. And I'm just like, wow. Mm. So I don't believe enough as parents start to import into our kids, not necessarily say school, but education. To me, I look at it two different ways. Teaching somebody is telling somebody. To educate somebody is to empower a person. If I don't empower you to be independent in your thinking, I'm not saying don't go to college or don't go to school to get better educated in some areas, but I want to make sure that you have a choice in it, right? And if I don't start planting those seeds now, when he gets to college age, he's going to be confused. And he's going to want to go to college because he thinks that that's the thing to do, go to college. And I don't promote college, but my wife and I have set things up for my son. By the time he turns 18, he'll be in a position to decide whatever he wants to do within good measures. He'll be financially prepared to do it. Right?
Great.
To me, that's the way. Not let me figure it out after I've made the mistake of doing something that detrimentally hurt me financially, and I still don't have a good job.
Mm.
But you know them folks gonna come after you for their money. I know too many people. I see it every day with student loans. If they gonna have a special place in hell for student loans, I believe.
Mm.
It because when you look at these deficits of college loans, it's the highest deficit we have out of anything. Student loans.
Wow.
And yet we live in impoverished, you know, places. That doesn't sound right. You would think if the deficit was that high, we'd have, you know, six-figure earners and millionaires.
Wow.
With all these degrees. That's what makes sense and don't make sense to me at the same time. And again, I'm not against college. You know, I just think that a person needs to make sure that the path that they're going, they need to have some type of guidance in the direction that they believe that they need to be going in. The problem I see a lot of times in our neighborhoods, in our communities, is that we're such in a push to get people out of school to where once they get out of school, they're still standing there saying, like, okay, so now what do I do?
Mm. Interesting.
They still have nowhere to go. Don't have
wow.
anywhere to go.
Wow.
You know, so when I talk about credit and debt and finances and things of that nature, that wasn't taught in my house. It was only because of my situation. I got catapulted into it, right? That didn't help. But now, how would anybody like to be in a position to where they know before they step into a place that they're okay to do what they want to do instead of doing this thing with, Lord, go before me because you know what I need. Yeah,
amen.
You also know
yeah.
you need to have a better credit score too. But
right.
I don't necessarily blame folks when it's not their thing. You know, that's like I had a friend of mine one time. He told me, I said, bro, look, I need to go get my brakes fixed on my car. And he said, oh, man, you got to go nowhere to do that. I can show you how to fix your brakes over the phone. I said, yeah, no, you can't. But to him, it was that simple because he's a car guy. I said,
right.
That'd be just my luck. I missed that one boat that I needed to put back on this car. You know, and so, but that's what it is, though. I do what I do. I don't expect you to know it the way that I know it or see it the way that I see it. And I'll tell you guys this. One of the things that God kind of dealt with me on is the fact that because I was such a pusher with this, with the credit and the debt and things like that, to where is that I started caring more about your stuff than you did. Right? And I said, man, wait a minute. I'm taking on way too much because this ain't our credit. This your credit. And so what I started to do and how God dealt with me was, he says, listen, my job, your job, is to help change a person's perspective. It's their job to change their mind. Because if the perspective has never been changed, if you've been living in that same box all your life, your perspective never will change. But the minute you get out of it, wait a minute. Okay, that's really a thing? That's just like me talking to you guys about this. Guess what? This is 40 years old. It's not new.
Wow.
It's not new. But it's just nobody's talking about it in our community, though. Like I said, when I got started doing this, it was the network marketing company and attorneys. And you think attorneys telling us what to do?
Exactly. No.
They're
taking you
as a client, but they ain't helping you. You know? So
sometimes in these industries, they see your failure as their financial success. Is that, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know, if you got this ton of market, you know, market penetration, 60% of the people do not have credit. 60% of the people's credit is messed up. 60% of the people don't know nothing about credit.
Yeah.
So somebody says, wow,
yeah.
let me open up a school. Like, you see these online courses for $1,700, $1,800, you know, and people trying to save their self, and they join these things, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at what happened in the 2008-2009 crash, right? So all of those factory jobs went away. Then all of a sudden, guess what happened? They said that all of those people that worked in those factories for 10, 20 years, they had to learn a whole new skill. They were talking about how people were flooding other states because they had no other work there. When that factory closed, that's half the city, that's half the town. They need to move. And they're going to move into a place to where, one, they've never been, they're unfamiliar, and they have to learn a whole new trade. And I've been doing this for 20 years?
Wow.
So what I believe we have to all do is like the other brother that came on about the HHF, when you start talking about communities, and I used to always laugh at this, you know, not ha-ha funny laugh, but it was like my community. Like, man, I hear people say that all the time about their communities and things like that. And I said, now, if I took that literally, my community where I live, it's mostly white people where I live. So am I talking about that community?
right.
Because I'm not against those folks, but I'm in a place where they call what they call middle class or whatever. I don't know. I just bought a house I like. And then everybody else came in around me, you know, because when I moved where I am, I was the only house on the block. I had the house built. I was the only house on this block for over 6 months.
Wow.
Then everybody else started coming around, right? So when I saw it, next thing you know, like 200-plus houses been built up in the neighborhood within a year or so, and it's 95% not us.
Right. Right.
You know? So
hey, listen, guess who's coming to dinner? But that wasn't the flip side for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, and it's not like when I came up. I'm only 50 years old, right? And, you know, I came up in a time where it was a village. You know, everybody was everybody. It wasn't like now. I see my neighbors and I might wave. That's it. We don't communicate. We don't, you know, drink coffee and things like that. It's like, hey, all right, how y'all doing? That's it. Bye. And I keep it moving. But when I do certain events, then I start seeing my community. But my community is these individuals who I've figured are my demographic of people, right? Because I know a lot of times you hear that old saying about what they don't want you to know, they put it in a book, right? And I don't necessarily like that, because even some of our counterparts, and especially what I do, you could put it in the book. I could read it. I don't know what the devil is saying, though.
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
So
there you go.
So it's still a miss.
There you
so
go.
So just because you put it in the book, it doesn't mean I'm not going to get it. Yeah, because you ain't writing it for me.
Exactly. You know, you hit some tremendous points, and as Calvin Nett say, I'm so glad we had this time together. But time goes so quickly when you have a good time. I want to thank all my sister Sharon Steele, coming back from the coming back to life. My sister, Costa Morale, Reverend Morale P. Brown, my brother Fred Braswell, and I'm calling out your name because I want y'all to join the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. Kenneth, I'm giving you honorary. I'll make you the honorary chair of the Black Business Network because, brother, you got a lot of interesting conversation. And I would like for us, Coach Morale, Sharon Steele, Fred Braswell, Harris Walker, my brother, Dr. Benjamin Bridges. I want all y'all to come back next week. I want us to have a conversation, and especially Coach Morale, who's an educator working with young people as we speak. I want us to have a discussion about how can we direct our young people. And you brought it up, Ken, to employment, entrepreneurial skills, things that will bring them finances at a short term that they can be successful. Because I know a lot of young kids. What you say? I thought I heard Coach Morale.
I'm in agreement. I just have to check my calendar. I know I got a couple of meetings, but it sounds good. I'm writing it down.
Yeah. So next Friday, Ken, can you come on next Friday?
Yeah.
About what time you want to cover it, Dr. Ron?
I'm gonna be on next. I'm gonna take the whole 2 hours. I'm gonna talk about opportunities for young people, opportunities for people who have been displaced. See, in our community, we have a lot of displaced people. We have a lot of people who lost their jobs. Ken talked about people losing their jobs in the coal mines and the factories, and then they need to redress that in terms of a career change. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about building opportunities in our community because I think that's something we don't talk about enough. The alternative to non-criminal activity. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to count on that. So people, thank you so much. God bless everybody, and I'm going to see all of y'all next week. By if we all, you know, we all make it, which we all are going to make it, and we all
by
able
faith,
to get together, that'll be a tremendous opportunity. Thank you so much, and God bless.
God bless
you.
Bye-bye.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
control, y'all.
In your heart,
hold it close.
to get better.